This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective. We're having a little bit of chaos here. People jumping out of chairs. Sorry about that. Independent community media. Independent.
Yeah. Good morning. I was on dogs. I had a dog sitting emergency.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. What's good about it?
Good.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's official, and pardon the French, but this has been a shit summer as far as weather-wise. Great if you want water for your garden or everything else, but I've had that much water, even my tomatoes are splitting now.
Yeah. Yes. That's so. What's that song with the Style Council, Mick? Long Hot Summer?
You know better than I do. Style Council. They were sort of kind of reggae, ska type.
They're political too, yeah.
I was never into them, so. Yeah.
It's just that song.
I have to plead ignorance.
Okay. Yeah, so what a week and awful tragedies around the country with weather-related stuff. And on that, I just I want to give a heads up to Paul, the other one. It's a YouTube thing.
Paul Barlow.
A very good clip today, folks. If you want to, watch it. He had a go at the Prime Minister and his friends over the fact that he's around there giving sort of, which is fair enough. You know, there's been tragedies, so he's been doing all that. But here he is going around and giving his condolences, etc. And what this current government in the last few years has pulled back on all sorts of climate and weather, climate projects and environmental projects. And hang on, we're getting these weather events more and more often. It's proven, etc.
Yeah, the phrase 100-year flood is now dusted.
But I recommend, because Paul's quite technical, so he's pulled up all the different articles and what government projects have been pulled back. Yeah, it's only this morning or yesterday.
Was it called Paul Over?
Paul the other one.
Paul the other one.
And it's just but it's Paul. But yeah. I might even, if I can figure out how to use my credit card, get the dust off it, I might even buy him a coffee. You know, it's a YouTube thing where you can donate.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So, but a credit to him, he nailed it, I thought. It was only short, it was only 3 or 4 minutes, but he just...
Sometimes that's all he needs. You know, get the point across.
Well, let's face it, you know...
And the cynic in me just thinks that, like, when you went over to share condolences with families...
Which is... The thing to do.
But it's also a photo opportunity.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, and they say, we're getting these weather events. Come on.
It wasn't just several places got hit.
Yeah, and he did go out to the East Cape and where else did he go?
Okay.
Coromandel.
Did he go to Northland though?
No, he didn't go to Northland. But, you know, you just think, extremely...
So do you think the Prime Minister might be in election mode already?
I think so. I think it was definitely an election opportunity.
The way that he carried himself.
But I say, he needs to take some of the credit. You're pulling back all these environmental things and weakening councils.
It's going to have an impact.
We shouldn't be... We know these weather events are going to get more often. The science tells us. We should be strengthening anything we do towards the environment.
Well, at the beginning of the week, we're talking to Watercare, the national body looks at waterways. And the infrastructure... they keep talking about increasing population and building houses, but where's the infrastructure, which we've talked about before?
Supporting it, yeah.
And said, there was a talking to this guy from Water King, he's almost pulling his hair out with frustration, because there's always water wipes. They've put some grills up to mitigate it a little bit, but piles of the stuff...
I saw that.
Goes right through into the river, into the...
So why don't we, as the people, i.e. the governments, just say we're not having them. We're not having their product.
And plus, get the water infrastructure up.
But to me,
it wasn't the whole argument: water infrastructure, road infrastructure, da 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 da.
Yeah.
And they spoke to this clown from Waka Kotahi.
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, we're trying to get our road and infrastructure up to scratch."
Yes, that's what he said. And he said, "Well, we're not sitting on our bums." I said, "Well, you're nothing. Nothing's moving. Nothing's happening."
See, the road washed out to the east coast, and some years back, the rail washed out to the east coast,
which never got
fixed. Which is insane. You either got to, how are you going to shift all that stuff, your produce from the east coast to the ports of Tauranga?
Oh, no, we put them on trucks and we wreck the roads.
Yeah, it causes
more damage.
You could put investment into rail, or you can put investment into coastal shipping.
Yeah.
Well, and we should be putting investment into this land isn't suited for
that. That's the other part of it.
When are we going to figure that out? You know?
They won't worry about it. People will be saying, oh, well, we'll just put those people over there. Floods. Doesn't really matter.
Because it's
always the same people get affected most is the poor people who end up in those areas because they can't afford.
Well, it's the tenant that gets pushed out of the house because the house is unsafe, and it's the landlord gets bought back. You know,
compensation.
Auckland Council's just spent a fortune on buying back rent-stickered homes remember that last big weather event in Auckland. Which is fair enough. But bottom line is,
where's the protection for those tenants? Those
and where are we going to? When are we going to go? Well, actually, that type of building shouldn't be built there. Should be no building there. What are we doing? Concrete pad buildings.
But you're suggesting regulations.
Oh yeah, strong.
Well, no regulations. There'll be people who will exploit the situation. You'll end up with more of those. Places, houses being built in inappropriate places.
Yeah, and not then just
the government, have to compensate the owner because they've lost their house.
You put a granny flat on, we might talk about that, which is okay, that I can understandable. But okay, a granny flat collects surface water. Never mind the sewage and all that, which should be cleaned up. But surface water, if you've got a granny flat on your section, there's not grass that's going to absorb it or a garden.
No.
That's going to go into a roof and go into a downpipe. Is that going to be connected up?
Possibly not.
And in some areas, fine. In other areas, you're on a hill, that water goes below you. If there is a downpipe.
If there's guttering too.
If there's a gutter system.
Yeah.
So all that sort of thing, it requires regulations and monitoring, not just having, you can't do it. We can't trust ourselves.
Well, we can't trust certain individuals and we can't trust certain organisations.
And as we've changed our population set, New Zealand has gone from we seem to have gone from a high trust society we're losing that. Will obey the rules is if we actually enforce it and have regulations. Uh-huh. To trust someone and say, well, look, Craig, can you pay your tax so Mick and I can get our pension? If we just made that sort of voluntary, who would do it?
You brought that up about India.
Yeah.
And the tax.
Yeah. 5.5% of Indians pay income tax. Wow. They go, oh, there's no roads, there's no hospitals, there's potholes, there's rubbish, there's pollution, there's...
Yeah, whatever.
Hello. Join the dots. And what are we doing? Are we going to allow... And I'm talking about the Indian population, but if we allow that mentality to come in, and it's just, themselves.
I think the mentality's already here.
Well, that's the danger.
Unfortunately, it's already here. It's been here for some time.
Yeah, and as I say, it's not the fault of the individual Indian, but...
Well, anyone who comes into the country, it's just fact of life. More people have got selfish...
Well, we're bringing more people. Instead of going, you can just do what you like, we need to actually have more controls.
Was it one quarter of the population that's north of Bombay Hills, isn't it?
Yeah. And India's population.
You mentioned that the infrastructure, the lack of, and you're building more houses.
Yeah.
It must be an absolute nightmare for being a plumber or a drain layer or...
Well, there was an article before the storm, some group up somewhere in Auckland area, and they were complaining about the, that had how many overflows of sewerage in the year. It was a huge number.
Mm.
And then they showed all the new building of houses around. Hello?
Yes.
A house is people which they do poos and wees. It's got to go somewhere.
And it goes into existing infrastructure that hasn't been upgraded.
Yeah, and, you know, and then and it overflows.
Spills over, and it spills over in floods. And it ends up in the sea.
Yeah, you know, waterways. So bringing population is fine, but okay, you actually have
Where's
to go...
The infrastructure?
Infrastructure.
That's a...
It seems to be sadly lacking, eh? It seems to be... We seem to be playing
catch-up. Well, we're
catch
struggling catch-up, yeah.
Well, we're not even doing catch-up. We're not doing
Well, they are, but...
But unless there's a political will, unless there's resources and the money invested
in the world
in those things, it's a fight or losing battle, though, really.
Yeah. So it's a big issue, but it's all very well going. Yeah, we can
it's
have more people.
It's all interconnected. Yeah. All sorts of things.
Yeah, but if you're going to increase a population from 5 million to 10 million or 20 million, have you got everything under control? Infrastructure, societal, cultural protection, all that. Otherwise, it just becomes a bloody mess.
Yes, you're dying your ducks up, eh?
Yeah. And it's Luxon and all think, you know, they're all up there, private, white, sort of wealthy housing areas and beach housing areas and all that. They might think they're immune from it, but eventually they won't be.
All political parties should sit up and take note.
Well, they need to... Get in a room together and say, okay, what's the plan for New Zealand? How do we cope with our climate change? How do we cope
with increased population?
How do we deal with our increased population and different cultures? And how's it going to work? Rather than just,
shrug your shoulders and just do nothing.
More interested in point scoring.
You saw that a little bit even in the early times when the Europeans came, mainly the English, of course, but after the treaty was signed, there were lots. Māori were really concerned with what was happening, but collectively, old sort of what you call disagreements and that flourished under often what you'd call underhand tactics by some Europeans, etc.
Are you talking about the missionaries?
You mean they might have exploited the situation?
Yeah, of course they did. You know, two people hate each other. You can just sow the fire while they're fighting. You grab the land. It's an old trick.
It's a dirty loadout, isn't it?
So it's all, you know, it's happened before. So it just, we've got some, the world's got some major problems.
Amazing.
But if you're going to have an increase in population, I hope that population and what's happening becomes a big election issue about where we're heading and how we deal with it.
Yeah, that's the question you'd ask if anybody knocks at your door. You ask them a question about increased population.
Where's the infrastructure? Where are you going to house these people? And where are we supposed to grow our own food?
And what protections have we got about tax collection? Because we've talked about this before, the number of things, businesses, et cetera, go broke, and you say, well, they've gone broke, that's sad, that's tragic, they're not obviously intending to. But if they haven't paid the POIE on their staff, that's the guy who does the worker, he's paid his tax, he or she has paid his tax to the government. And the employer hasn't passed that on.
Declares bankruptcy and then 6 months down the road.
Forms another one. Does that POIE get paid back?
No.
And we need it. If we're going to increase the population, we need to have a functioning society. We need to have taxation.
Yeah, you know how we've talked about Scandinavian countries leading the light? Apparently Sweden, they got rid of wealth tax 20 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
And now they're now starting talking about
the inequality,
two-tier. Is now creeping into Sweden's society.
Yeah, and a bunch of those people they got rid of it, but the people who were paying wealth tax, I'm sure that was the wealthy. You don't pay tax unless you earn it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever level your taxation.
So see what happens in Sweden.
Well,
Wasn't there a fear in Sweden of the local population being swamped by immigrants?
Yeah, there is.
And is that part of that problem?
And their political process has reflected that. They voted for more conservative.
That's right across Scandinavia, they've been quite adamant about curtailing any more people coming in.
Yeah, but it's quite, isn't it, the irony and all that, it's interesting, you know, the what I call the Western world's all talks about immigration, and yet we won't have our own children because people can't afford, there's all sorts of reasons, but, you know, so we need migrants, and then, but then the irony is, well, how do we cope and what's happening? And then we go, oh, there's war everywhere. We've encouraged lots of war and fighting and all sorts of stuff. So areas get abandoned and the population goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. And then they go, oh, this is terrible. You know? Instead of spending the money and the time and the effort, so how do we make Venezuela stable? How do we help it? How do we help Cuba?
Yeah, that's
it. You know, how do we help these countries that are struggling with internal stuff and all that? Instead of doing embargoes and et cetera. Why don't we go, well, how can we help them so people say, oh, I'm Cuban, I want to stay here.
Yeah.
I'm Venezuelan and I want to stay here.
Certain countries just want to exploit.
Yeah.
It's sort of the capitalist model, unfortunately. You know,
it's old economic feudalism.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you know,
it's locked in the colonialism, eh?
Empires haven't gone. They've just changed their spots.
That may be as a human race. Maybe that's just our destiny.
Some people will be exploited, and others will exploit.
Yeah, but then they'll say, so then they go, oh, we can't have, then we don't like these people, and we have extracted the wealth from all these countries, and then we go, oh, but we don't really want their people coming here, we just want their wealth.
That's exactly what's been going on for years.
Yeah, because
they argued a bit. There was a Facebook post in which I put comments, and it was like this: Iran, Congo, Ghana. And then there was Chile, and then you got Venezuela. Why did they get rid of these people?
Because
they weren't our friends and we didn't like them.
Yeah. Well, there was just suitcases of cash, diplomacy for the elite, and that was it.
And
the same thing.
They wouldn't do what we wanted them to.
And same thing for Iran. Instead of Iran being the so-called enemy, why don't they help Iran? Take away the embargoes and everything else. The Iranians, no one naturally wants war.
No, in general.
It's all part of the greater Israel plan, isn't it?
It seems to destabilise
all the countries around that area.
The reason why they have an authoritarian government in Iran currently, with the Ayatollah and whoever else, is a direct result of interference of the West.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But there's no mention of that. You won't hear that.
And the same with Congo. Why is Congo or Zaire or what it was a basket case? Because of Western interference and they put in their stooge.
Go back to China, you know, which is, you know, CCP, Chinese Communist Party. You know, it was popular because in the end, who was running it? Chiang Kai-shek and what was the name of the Kuomintang? They were in it. It was corrupt. It was autocratic. Right. It looked after the few.
The warlord scenario.
So the communists came along and said, no, we've got a different idea.
Yeah.
Warts and all. And the people go, hang on a minute. This might be an idea worth pursuing.
And see where it's come to now.
It's just, and there's no instant quick fix, but. It's just the hypocrisies and that go on and everything else. So, where does it end? I suppose we're in a turbulent time. The world's very unsettled.
Looking into a dark place.
And there's always been there's so much profiteering from war and the effects of it, and then of course the other effects is not just profit taking, it's the surplus population that leave because of the effects of countries disintegrating or struggling.
And why are they disintegrating?
Because
it comes back to the interference of others.
So interesting times.
And add that to the mix is environmental impact.
You're going to have
environmental refugees as well as political. Or whatever. You know.
Environmental.
Well, Iran's, we talked about it before we came on here, Iran's got a huge drought problem, lack of water, etc. Okay, so if in the end, and it could well do, in the end, if the people have run out of food and water, because if you haven't got water, you can't make food often.
That's how it goes here.
So then they get, fair enough, they want to survive. They look for a change.
Yeah, so where do they go?
Well, I say, Well, they leave. They might change the regime, but that's still not going to sort the water problem and the food problem.
Yeah.
You know.
And then they end up, they might all go to parts of Tehran where it is water, but then it's going to be swamped with extra people.
People.
Uh-huh. So it will be repercussions.
Hang on. Yeah. We were just talking about infrastructure here. You know, we're going to have extra people. How do we sort the infrastructure? You know?
Yeah.
You know? And we're lucky. We are an extremely wealthy country. Although the wealth isn't shared well as it could be, we're an extremely wealthy country. So we could afford to do the infrastructure easily.
We could, but we don't.
We don't want to.
They want us to pay for it.
Yeah, we could.
Small people pay taxes. Big people don't pay tax.
Well, they create jobs and they work hard for their money. Apparently. I'm just playing the fiddle here.
I know you are.
I was talking on Howard Desert about one of the excuses about the military expenditure. Oh, it creates jobs. So someone actually went and investigated. School, education, health were provided more jobs down the military, which was further down the list.
Yeah.
It's like 1%.
Yeah. And I imagine the military manufacturing, a lot of it would be getting more and more
automated.
Automated.
They talked about that in China and their industries being automated.
Creating jobs in the military is false paradise. It's only a minuscule amount.
I think there's more jobs in country clubs polishing golf balls and things like that. As long as you don't look the masters in the eyes, you can polish their balls.
Yeah.
pardon the pun. Didn't mean to come that out. You know.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, China has this deal with Canada over electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And they spoke about China and the whole electric car industry is robotic.
That's how far ahead they are. Which goes back. What do we do with the populations?
That's the issue. Yeah.
You know. It's
and then it creates more demand for all those resources to keep those very systems going. It compounds, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does.
And the population's concentrated in certain areas throughout the world. There are vast areas of the world that haven't got hardly anybody.
And David Attenborough actually said, everyone goes on about population increase. Mm-hmm. He said it's just concentrations of populations how we deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's about by environmental, political, whatever.
Now, you remember our friend that came on here a few times, David, what was his surname? Who died a couple of years back.
Oh, David Nielsen, yeah.
Yeah, and he often talked about that we need to go from sort of going back from the cities, urbanisation, go back into more localisation of industry and of that. Mm. So the local village in Pirongia could make its own things, etc. Rather than...
You're talking about cottage industry stuff.
Yeah, that.
Oh, so, the capitalist model. Mm.
Yeah, so, you know...
There'd be great resistance from the mass producers.
Yeah, of course.
They'd stomping it, they would... Put it now.
Well, look at India was actually a very rural, small plots of land to so even grow their own self-sufficiency.
And ruined their cotton industry.
Yeah. And then they started to get the farms have got bigger and bigger. And then what's happened? They've gone into the urban areas and some have got jobs and done all right, etc.
A lot of struggling, huh?
There's slums and
some of those cities are close to being unlivable.
Which we know. And so India's looking for places to put its people. So
they can ruin that
place. Hello, England was looking for places to put its people.
Yeah,
how long ago? You know,
yeah.
That's not a new story.
I know. Yeah.
We end up ruining the very thing that we took.
Yeah,
because
they
don't look after the environment. That's what happens.
Yeah. Well, there's still this capitalist model, which we, you know, you go in there, you get whatever you can out of area, and then you move on. But the trouble is the globe's only a certain size.
So the model's, the Earth is here for us to exploit.
Yeah, there's that.
Strip it.
Yeah, and yet we're part of,
we are part of nature too.
But we're told by some others that, we come from a, where did we come from? Adam. What? Adam and Eve or whatever, but the science sort of says we're part of nature.
We evolved.
Yes, we evolved. We're not above it, we're part of it.
If we've evolved and we're so clever, why do we leave our wisdom back under the apple tree?
We've become victims of our own success.
Yeah, we're so wise and clever to make all these bombs. We can destroy the world how many times over, we can make food, we can do anything, and yet our wisdom to go, okay, well, how do we use things? You know? We're clever to make plastics. We haven't used our wisdom. So how do we? Why do we make this product? Why do we allow styrofoam? Why do we allow
this
things?
And now that and done?
Why do we allow our wet wipes? We're clever enough to make them. They don't rot away. Why aren't we clever enough to think, well, actually, this product isn't good for our cousins in nature?
Yeah.
And to enforce that,
you need regulations.
Yeah, there you go.
Has been undermined.
We could call this the great circle.
Capitalism is there to exploit, and it doesn't worry about those sort of problems. It just a problem, but doesn't think about further repercussions.
Yeah.
We just want to exploit.
Yeah, and I think you know, the old idea that you have a skill and you do something and you swap that for something else, that's trade and all that, which is that's how it would work. But once we get it all out of kilter, you know?
Well,
this idea of free trade is not actually free trade at all, is it?
It's free for some, but not all.
And that's, did you, any of you get a chance to listen to Mark Carney, the Prime Minister of Canada at the World Economic Forum?
No, I didn't get to.
Oh, he had a go without mentioning a certain word, no.
Yeah, he didn't actually mention America or President
Trump. There was enough inference.
Don't get me wrong, he's still a Tory, he's still into the capitalist system and everything else. But, he was really, worth listening to his speech. Had a real good go at, and basically said, the international law and the rule-based order is broken. It probably never really existed, but the pretense of it existed, So it was worth listening to,
Okay. Yeah. Something to keep in mind.
I actually had some good news.
Yeah, go for it.
Mamdani. Zoran Mamdani.
Yeah.
He's hitting the ground running over in New York.
Right.
He's already announced... he ran on childcare, free childcare. He's already put that into place. So Americans, childcare is extremely expensive over there. So they've done an announcement there. That's hit the ground. He's done several things on rents, etc. He's not sitting. He's only day eight or something, and he's really.
Has he put a rent freeze or something?
They've done rent freeze, and they've done it harder for landlords just to throw people out, and because he's certainly not sitting around.
Not like Trump.
No, and he's already rescinded the thing on Israel, criticism of Israel, and all that, and so he's hit the ground running. And he's getting the approval of the population, which is, what he did. He said, we don't have to wait. You can do things straight away if you've got the will.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly encouraging.
Yeah, it is encouraging. And, he'll come up against stiff opposition on certain things.
Yeah.
But, credit to him.
Kind of those things are for we the people type stuff, eh?
And I think... If we look at we're talking about bigger picture and capitalism and all that, maybe that the model forward is that capitalism with a heart is all we can expect. I don't know if we're going to get socialism in the true sense anymore.
Capitalism with a heart could be fickle too.
But it's better than capitalism with no heart. Which we used to
have. It can be elusive, though. We used to have it in the 50s and 60s, but now it's been taken away.
Because Russia, etc., folded, and of course, our power went. Oh, there's nothing to fear now. We can do what we like.
Yeah, we'll do what we like. Yeah.
So there's a chart. To me, there's a glimmer of light there.
And that's what the military companies are doing now. They're selling the idea that we're unsafe.
Oh, of course.
And it's all about money. It's nothing to do about safety at all. Yeah. It's about making obscene profits.
So
they've taken that narrative and they've exploited it and spun it around and telling people, if you're nervous and upset, we can protect you. It will cost you, but...
Yeah, but the
ching, it's money wrong.
But doesn't that model seem weird? Like in the end, aren't you better that everyone in the street's doing well, got food, got somewhere to live, etc.?
And
you can walk down it.
What was crime like here in the 50s and 60s when you had reasonably full employment?
Minimal. Low population.
Population generally mostly employed.
People were generally happy.
Crime itself was.
You're still going to get crime.
Yeah.
crimes of passion, yeah.
People were hung in New Zealand in the '50s, so
yeah.
But generally speaking, people were happier.
I think that'd be right.
I think unemployment was very low.
Yeah.
Less pressure on people. It goes back to the Scandinavian model. You lived in New Zealand in the '60s. You had to retire at 60 or whatever. There was lots of volunteer groups. You could do a knitting club, a pigeon club, a beer drinking club, a mountain climbing club. There were lots of things because you just stopped work at 60 because everyone else did. And you didn't have to fear about how much money you had because you still knew you had a house, whether you owned one or whether you had a state house. You didn't have anything to fear. So it was now everyone's obsessed with how much money they got, or if they got a big enough car, or a bigger car than the neighbour.
Or they're afraid that someone will take it away.
Yeah.
But general people were happier.
Well,
because they had financial security.
You got that impression, eh?
But there's always poor people. There's always been more poor people. There's always been rich people.
Yeah.
But generally speaking,
so they say,
people were generally happier.
Yeah, and didn't we talk about a few months back about the happiness register, and we weren't that high up on it?
No, we've failed miserably every time.
Yeah.
Scandinavian countries have usually been up the top.
And why are they up the top? Generally because...
Haven't just mentioned Sweden's just changed its model. Sure,
but they still don't have to worry about old age, security,
it's almost
housing.
Cradle to grave stuff.
Oh, hello.
Old socialism.
Cradle to the grave. Is that illegal yet to say that? But
We can say it here.
Yeah.
We're not looking after we the people. When I was working at the Freezing Week years ago, and there was an older Maori gentleman, and he said, "Well, one day I was working here, and I just chucked the job in, walked down the road, got another job." That's how
I've done that in the past.
And he was probably say 20, 30 years older than me. Going back, probably back into the 60s or the 50s.
There were many jobs available as there were days of the week.
Well, and also there were many jobs available that were didn't require high skill levels.
Yeah.
Because of technology, et cetera. There were people who just worked on the end of a spade. They didn't have to have any
skills. It was labour-intensive.
Employers were screaming out for labour.
There was
a labour shortage.
Yeah.
Those were the good old days when you could almost dictate how much you get paid.
Well, unions were also strong.
Union strong.
It's certainly a changed world, you know.
Yeah, very, very different.
Different. But as my young ones said to me, well, in the end, they don't know the 60s and 70s, so they can only compare the world that they live in.
But some of the generations that are in charge definitely did know them.
Yeah, and that's the tragedy. They've looked after their own children and grandchildren and haven't thought about Benny and Mary's grandchildren.
They've had a sense of continuity.
So they're protecting their wealth. And
some people are aware of the continuity.
Oh, I think they are.
Weren't so isolated that they just thought about what they're generating. Yeah.
And that's true.
If you're capable of thinking, you think, well, what happened before and what could happen afterwards?
And how does this work? How does my wealth fit into everyone else's circumstance? There are people like that.
Trump is a classic example. Yeah. He definitely knows the 60s.
Yeah.
He dodged the Vietnam draft in the 60s.
But he always came from a life of privilege.
It was a life of privilege that was exploitive.
Yeah, sure.
His father was Fred Trump was less than a desirable character. Woody Guthrie was one of his, rented one of his properties.
Yeah.
And there's a song about that.
Yeah.
Fred Trump was not a very nice man, by all accounts. Yeah.
Yeah, of German extraction, I believe.
Yeah, they dropped the F, I believe.
Wasn't one of his ancestors owned a brothel? Is that true or not?
I don't know.
The point is immigration. They were immigrants.
Yeah, of course.
His mother was Scottish, apparently, and an illegal immigrant.
And there's nothing, let's face it, lottery of life is rich and poor and all that. But as I say, when you just surround yourself by the same people and the sycophants, et cetera, that's the danger where you no longer have any touch with the commoners. Right. Look at Trump. He got elected in and his main vote was actually the commoners.
Yeah.
he hasn't really got anything in common with them, but he still tells them that.
Yeah, because they're dumb enough to
me and you are the same. You know, we walked down to the factory together.
Because they're stupid enough to believe it.
Well, yeah, they go on about American stupidity. I don't know. Yeah.
Mind you, stupidity is classless. We've got them over here.
We've got
them in the UK. Europe,
they're everywhere.
Yeah,
they should have asked them a question about, oh, did you serve in the war, Mr. President?
Yeah.
And we're talking about Vietnam War.
The narcissism, you know, the people who still bend over for Trump. It's just amazing, you know? Including our lot seems to be bent.
My term for our lot is that the V word, the vassal. The whole idea of Luxon flying in a helicopter, isn't that kind of what Trump does?
I suppose their argument for it was he wanted to look at the East Cape and go around, but it is election year.
He was the only person on the helicopter. I remember when they had those big floodings in the South Island, and Labor was in power. I know they used a helicopter there as well, but it wasn't just the Prime Minister there.
Yeah.
There were other people in that helicopter. So who's paying for these things?
Well, we the people are.
Yeah, yeah. I like to know the bill for that particular.
But I suppose to be fair, as they would say, well, the roads are shut, the only way we can get into there or whatever
How did Mitchell get there?
Yeah, well, we don't know. Well, Mitchell would have been at one of his beach houses, would he have been?
Was
that the Mount? So there'd be an awful lot of people from the ownership class who would be in the vicinity of Coromandel and the Bay of Plenty.
Yeah. If they just happened to be of a certain party.
I hope the others are starting to get galvanised and come up with some policies.
Because that's what we haven't mentioned. Election year, 7th of November. Yeah.
And the polls, I wouldn't say the government's had lots of stuff they've done wrong.
Own goals, exactly.
But say the polls still showing them with a fairly good chance of being re-elected.
Is there anything to do with the house prices starting to creep back up again?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
And as I say, when they do the polls, they ring up people. How many poor people do they contact?
That's not asking. Over the age of 70 do they ask?
Yeah, you know.
They certainly don't ask me.
Well, they go into the retirement homes, wealthy retirement villages, if they do go anywhere. Yeah. Oh, just do what my daughter tells me. You know.
It's
going to be.
And the poor are dead, of course.
It's going to be an interesting year because you're going to hear all sorts of policy announcements and proposals.
Policies that probably will not happen.
Yes, it'll just be let's bribe the electorate.
That's what will happen. Yeah.
Well, actually, see what happens.
Who's the Christchurch Central MP? And he had a good go about voter suppression. You know how they made these rules.
Duncan Webb.
Yeah, and good on him. You know, because I say, let's face it, if you're struggling with literacy, you're struggling with language, all those sorts of things. Anything that makes it more difficult to vote. Is a suppression, really? So, and I personally, you know, for some people, why can't they just go into somewhere to an official and go, look, I can't read very well, but I want to vote for this person or I want to vote for this party. Give them a form? That's intimidating. I know that from a fact from my work at the courthouse. The forms can be very intimidating if you can't read and write or comprehend.
Any application,
To see if greater emphasis on electronic voting, because we said the other day there's very few mailboxes available.
Postal
voting.
Yeah. So general election, of course, will still be, this time, is still going up into the halls and booths, of course. But it's not a given for those, those on the so-called left, you know?
Yeah, and you can say that the so-called left. Because the CTU, they released that survey of they'd made about conditions, politicians, et cetera, et cetera. I saw one comment from one person about Labor saying, and it was something that I would actually say, they haven't lost their what they call neoliberal hang-ups.
No, they're still wanting to go down the same track.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Let's face it, if they're going to go down the same track, then people go, well, Okay. Well, I don't particularly like the nets, but...
Well, what's the difference if they're going down the same road?
You just need to change the driver.
So we haven't... Apart from probably the Greens, the Pāre Māori is in a bit of a mess, to say the least. So apart from the Greens having a different idea, Labor's still in that sort of, well, yeah, we have a... Go back to what I said, capitalism with a heart. They're still... that's as far as they're going to go.
They're going to go after the same pool of people did last time.
Yeah.
Which is better than capitalism without a heart.
Yeah, but it's... Yeah, it's not really productive, though, is it?
It's not forward thinking.
No, it's not. It's very...
That's some...
Hedging your bets.
But they know the poor won't vote in enough numbers, so that's the only way they're going to get re-elected.
Well, see, if Labour was go down that road. Socialist Party, they'd be out there trying to get...
They'd be incentivising them. Yeah.
But it's very hard because we don't have the factories, we don't have the common workplaces.
That we used to have.
Yeah. You know, there's...
So where would these people gather then? That's where they would need to go.
Yeah, and where do they gather?
They might want to go to work at their work and income office, for example. They might want to come to a community house, for example, or have community lunches, for example. Yeah. So those sort of gathering places.
Because and I've had this argument with people on the so-called left who are commentators and all that. Prison company excluded, but so you go into a lot of houses that are poor and said, "Oh, is your family a left-wing voter or a right?" They would say, "What?
Yeah.
I don't vote or what?" I don't mean to be rude about it, but they don't have any political interest or understanding at all. You might get vote for Labour, but you don't. They don't understand the left-right philosophy or social justice or the social welfare system. They might receive it, but they don't understand what's behind that and the will of the people to do it, etc. You go into the doctor's surgery and it's free for 10 years under a certain age. You know, it should actually be free. It's rather than free, there's no charge due to taxpayer New Zealanders paying for this, you know. But we don't do a good job of telling people how the system works, which may be deliberate.
I assume that people know.
Which is naughty, and I'd like in schools they actually did far more curriculum work on how things work.
Yeah, part of their social studies stuff.
Civic
affairs type stuff. Civics. This is how this country works.
And if you have your own business, you can get before you pay your tax. on what you earn. You know, the things that aren't explained either way. You know,
Your taxes pay for these sorts of things. They don't pay for these things.
Yeah, if you do this sort of job and you work for someone, you will pay tax as you go along. If that person doesn't go broke, or do a runner. But okay, if you work for yourself, take more risk, etc. But of course, you can get more perks in the sense that you can claim for stuff that's semi-business related.
Because we know that certain countries may have some forms of civic education. I think the United States does, even though it's a Basque case. But we here probably do a poor job at it.
You're probably not alone in it. I think most countries don't do enough to
incentivize people to vote.
Yeah,
but isn't that
or educate people about how the system works?
So that's probably deliberate, though, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss.
Confusion
and they won't rebel.
I retract from that. They actually, certain groups of people are told how the system works and how to take advantage of it.
Yeah,
the
same individuals who shall remain nameless.
Who are at the country club. For our health and safety.
That's probably captured on camera. Sorry about that. So Fred's still on attack.
Yeah, it was probably Zionist left in there.
But I think remember again, 7th of the of November.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see how it goes.
How it pans out? How the polls pan out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I don't like about the polls is how the rise of New Zealand First is going. Yeah.
I suspect he'll be kingmaker again.
And it's time. I felt that get rid of them. My objective would be to get rid of New Zealand First straight away.
Yeah, but he knows his sort of market. He knows there's a bit of an elderly market, and it's with a racial tone, and so he just keeps hammering the same sort of thing.
It could be reminded that we're lucky that you had Jacinda Ardern to help you retain that base with the COVID stuff. Otherwise, that might be gone.
True.
Anyway, we'll see what the people decide. Yeah,
we the people. Yes,
but I still go back. We still even though we don't have enough people voting, MMP is still a lot better than the American system or the UK system. You know.
So, very much so.
My opinion.
Probably it could be even better. Single transport STV.
I've got one. Can I do it? Syria. I don't know if you guys have been following that, but
that seems to descend into chaos. Fighting the Kurds and faction.
But it's quite interesting because the president of Syria was the ex-Al Qaeda guy that now America has got a nice friendly term with. But Ahmed al-Sharaa is the president, And of course, there've been a sort of a storm up in the northeast. Has been Kurdish. The Kurds sort of, when the fall of ISIS happened, the Kurds grabbed a big chunk of territory.
Yeah.
And basically, with American support, held on to it.
Yeah. Okay. Is it where the oil is?
Ah, surprise, surprise. Yeah. So anyway, but what's happened, there's been a bit of a... and al-Sharaa, to his credit, has said, no, we want a united Syria. And he invited the SDF, which is the Kurdish Syrian... What do they call themselves? Syrian Democratic something, which is the Kurdish group, who are from the northeast. They're also up in Mosul and part of Turkey, mainly in Iraq, up in Mosul. But anyway, so they've sort of, they grabbed that after the ISIL collapse of ISIL and how do you call it? Who was Assad? He was the Assad. What was his name?
Assad.
He was weakened, so he couldn't do anything about them. The Americans said leave them alone. So the Kurds were left alone. But anyway, there must have been a deal, and I don't know this for a complete fact, but there must have been a deal with the Americans, with al-Sharaa, that he could take back those areas of Syria. And they tried to do it with negotiation by just incorporating the Kurds into a greater Syria.
It hasn't worked out, though, has it?
And it hasn't worked out. So basically, they've come in, they've taken back the Aleppo city, which is also a province. They've taken and also taken back Dalazir, and Al-Raqqa. And Raqqa was where the centre of ISIS was, if you remember. Dreadful losses of life and everything else.
But so there's now ethnic and religious fighting now.
Well, actually, there has been casualties, but there seems to be more of just a change of leadership. And in those areas, it's interesting, really interesting of note, that the majority of the population in those areas, even though the Kurds had political control of it and military control of it, were Arab populations.
Yeah.
So they were basically being administered by the Kurdish side of things. So the population has gone, we're back to being with Syria.
Right.
So there's some of that. The things that are of interest is, like you said, oil. They have now the Syrian government has now taken back control of most of these oil fields in the northeast, which is where they had their major oil fields, etc. And surprise, surprise, America was making sure that no one got control of this oil apart from their friends, which were the Kurds. All right. But they apparently have changed hands. Relatively peacefully, but they're quite wrecked. The oil production used to be a lot, but they haven't been in full production for decades. There's potential there. There's still one city and one province, which is called Al-Hasaka, which is up right in the northeast, very close to northern to Iraq and Turkey, Kurdish population is. The interesting thing is, though, they've also taken over, there was a lot of prisoner of war camps from ISIS. The Kurds were managing. They have now been given back control to the Syrian government. So, potentially not all. It's hard to get full information. So, yeah, big changes in Syria. The worry I heard from one reporter is, well, the Kurds have always had quite a strong relationship with Israel. Will Israel stay out of it, or...?
Well, they're stuck there all in the south.
And why I say that, I actually had practical experience. A few years back, I went to a demonstration in Auckland. The Kurds, by chance, were having one before we were doing one for Palestine. But in amongst the Kurdish flags were Israeli flags. And I actually knew one of the Israeli supporter. And they were there giving support to the Kurds, which was quite interesting. So what America has said to the Israelis, or what Israel will do about that, not much connectivity, of course, and Israel has got that much strength up there. They might be popular, but they'll be more likely, because if they throw their military capability into the Kurds, then the Syrian army won't be able to do anything.
They don't think they will, but they might. Yeah, the Kurds are an interesting case because they dominate portions of Turkey,
yeah,
Syria,
that same corner,
and Iraq.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Mosul.
So it'll be interesting. The Kurds themselves, according to this report, I've got a lot on Al Jazeera, is that a lot of the Kurds feel betrayed because it was America that was protecting them from the Syria army and the clashes, etc. And so America's withdrawn that sort of umbrella support, and that's why the Syrian government has been able to make so much advance. Interesting one.
Yeah, Kurdistan, eh? There's such a place as Kurdistan, isn't there?
But
the Kurds themselves, they don't have a actual homeland or country.
They're semi-autonomous. See, this goes back to places like Ukraine. In that northern part of Iraq, they have an autonomy. They've got a Kurd, what do you want, for a better word, the Hamilton City Council in that area is Kurdish. So they've sort of got some autonomy, but they're still part of Iraq. Often that's the way to deal with, can be dealt with where areas have a bigger territory, but there's different ethnicities, etc. They say, well, okay, yep, you can be part of, you can be, still have your ethnicity and you can run yourselves, but the greater name is Syria, you know?
Yeah, they have problems with them in Turkey, don't they? And the
they did, but they've got a peace deal there, which has been holding pretty well. But they fought for years.
The Workers' Party, PKK, or
something like that. I believe that's sort of calmed down. So where that all heads,
don't know.
And Turkey is quite happy about this whole government taking over because they've always had that animosities or issues with the Kurds. So there's a bit of a Turkey would be considered winning out of this whole new change of occupation, I suppose. But in the end, it's what the people want.
It doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Well, no, sadly, but yeah.
I think the oil is the big resources will speak louder than
and the other is the dams on the Euphrates.
Because of the water,
water and power,
So that's interesting.
So that's what I saw about Syria. I sort of watched the space on that.
But
interesting.
Wasn't the Zionist state, didn't they back that current president of Syria too? So,
well, they say there's a deal done because Israel's managed to expand a bit into Syria. What was Syria?
Illegally, of course.
Yeah. Golan Heights.
And let's face it, the guy who was doing the commentary, I got this off, basically said, there's still things that can happen in the north of Syria, but he said the Israeli army's just military's just too strong. The Syrian can't do anything about it. Unless Israel walks back from what it's occupied in the bottom part of Syria, that's it.
That's not going to happen.
No,
unless the United States stops funding the Israeli military.
Yeah, they'd still be all right on their own for quite some time.
But then, you know.
But see, Israel's announced this new policy where they're going to make their own weapons, military bombs and all that. So that's interesting.
So then you would have to ask, where would they get the resources to do that? Who would be supplying them?
There's always someone prepared to supply someone.
Yeah.
Especially if America, the way it is, even if America will keep still interest will still supply Israel for some time, regardless.
Unfortunately.
Mm.
Yeah. All these smoking mirror things, trying to deflect us of what the true motives are.
Well, look at Greenland. Have you guys been following that?
Yeah.
So there's a deal been done. Trump's backed off his tariffs and Rutte. There's some sort of deal being done that Trump can expand his golden dome and, they did a deal and I believe, whether it's true, Norway and Denmark weren't included in the deal. It was just NATO and Trump working out how it's going to work.
So the deal has been done.
Apparently, yeah.
But the head of NATO...
What's the deal, though?
Well, they haven't sort of said what the complete deal is, but Trump's happy with it.
I saw some Norwegian saying that there's no... You're still waiting for the details.
Yeah, well, that's what he said. It's gone into sort of in-house. His lieutenants are doing the final workings. Because it's heading in the right direction, he's pulling the tariffs.
When asked the Greenlanders, they must be ropeable.
Well, they had that 1951 deal, didn't they?
They were quite happy with that. But the idea of become American citizens, some of them were not happy at the prospect. Being American citizens, knowing the way that Americans treat their First Nation...
Just treat their own people who are poor. Yeah, Americans don't treat their ordinary citizens very well, let alone indigenous ones.
This was an Inuit who was... talking about First Nations, but I take your point. He was arguing, I don't see him looking after First Nation people.
Yeah.
Which Inuits are. Yeah. Inuits extend through Greenland, Canada, Alaska, and probably into Soviet Russia.
Yeah, but I imagine the migration rate of people, European, who's in charge of Greenland?
Denmark.
I don't know about how many what the immigration of Danes into Greenland is. Someone go there for work, and there'll be two or three generations that have probably stayed in Greenland
longer than that, I'd suspect.
Yeah, maybe too. Yeah, whalers and sealers and all that originally.
It probably goes back to when Iceland was colonised by the Vikings, so it's probably not longer than that.
Yeah so there'll be Greenlanders who feel that the Greenlanders not. Yeah, Denmarkans, I would imagine.
And they're autonomous.
Yeah, that's what we go back to, you know.
Autonomy. Yeah, but that's what Trump wants to get rid of, isn't it? Or wanted to get rid of.
You don't know of him.
But did you, in following this whole Greenland thing, and you remember that what they call the US Virgin Islands used to be a Danish territory? Did you know that?
No.
And the deal was that Danes gave it to the United States on the pretext that you don't interfere with Greenland.
Was it? Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it was. Look that up.
Yeah, okay. You look it up.
Well, I wonder if anyone's brought it up at the negotiating table.
I think it has been mentioned.
Mind you, not in this lot. Americans say, and?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they had remember one of their former expansionist presidents, McKinley, because he was into that, the wars in Cuba and all that sort of stuff, because of to take over Spanish territory.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what happened to him, didn't you?
Yeah. It's quite interesting now around the world over history about who controls what, and it's been going on forever. Powers sort of have taken over, etc.
And on that note, we're out of here. So we didn't have a power cut.
No.
Okay. So you catch us on freefm.org.nz or just look up the podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.